News starts right now.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams.
Luckily, there are people out there doing the hard work of real investigative journalism. People like Bruce Willingham. He runs the McCurtain Gazette News out of middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. Now, Bruce suspected that the local sheriff and other officials were doing county business after meetings ended. So he secretly recorded them. And when he played the tape back, he heard them talking about him and his son, who is also a reporter. And it was not flattering.
So, middle of nowhere, Oklahoma is kind of accurate.
That's an understatement, by the way.
I thought it was in the eastern edge of Oklahoma, basically halfway between, you know, when you have to describe yourself as halfway between Oklahoma City and Pine Bluff or Hot Springs, Arkansas. You know, like, that's where it is, okay? So, this local reporter who runs a newspaper that, get this, does not have an online edition.
Oh.
They don't have it. So this, which, I mean, you know, you got to pay for the paper.
Yeah.
And they apparently do really good work. And he suspected that the city council, the county were doing business outside of the sunshine, basically, is the way you would think of it. Okay. And he wanted to catch them. So he leaves a recording device that's voice activated. So it only turns on and records when it's hearing something in the meeting room. He bugs the meeting room, which typically you can't put a bug on people or things. But if it's in a place where you have no reasonable expectation of privacy, like at the, you know, park, I'm trying to think of like examples where you'd be okay with this. In Florida, you have to have two-party consent. Anyway, in Oklahoma, and this is an open question of whether what he did was legal or not. Apparently, yes, but there's some people who are saying no. So we'll see. Anyway, he leaves his bug. And he's just trying to find evidence of them doing business after hours, so to speak. Well, that is not the thing that he finds evidence of.
The recordings captured the group talking about hiring hitmen to kill the reporters and where the bodies could be hidden.
I've known two or three hitmen, very quiet guys.
Yeah.
And would cut no horses.
Yeah.
Well, I know where two big deep holes are here, and they
can. I got
an these are pretty
good. I know it's hard to hear. That's one version of it, but this is the sheriff of the county and one of the members of the council or commission or whatever talking about, well, you know, what should happen really is you get down there and, you know, we should take care of them reporters. We should, I know two big deep holes. Yeah, I got an excavator. What? What? No, yeah, this is actually what they say on tape. Again, it's not the clearest thing in the world, but I'm gonna play it for you on a slightly better version of the recording. And let's see, here we got. Here we go. I think this is no. Sorry, I'd recorded them in a couple of different ways, and I'm trying to find the version of it that I thought I had this open already, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of stumbling around here a little bit. Oh, there. Okay, hold on just a second, because I thought I had set this up to be ready to be played this morning, but there we go. Okay, so this is the first of the comments. This is kind of in chronological order in the recording.
The whole saying is, you know,
comes around, goes around.
It will. I told you it will.
Yeah.
Well, I know where two big deep holes are here. Maybe.
I kind of estimated.
What goes around comes around on these reporters who keep poking around and asking questions and saying that there's been fraud and saying that there's been shenanigans and, you know, all of that. And they feel insulted by it because they've been the target of these newspaper articles. And they say, one says, you know, I know where there's two big holes. And I was like, well, I know where there's an excavator. What? And then there's sort of a little bit later, there's, you know, they're talking about the newspapermen saying that they thought that the two new commissioners would change the board, that they wouldn't be as corrupt. and how his dad, I think this is, I'm not sure which voice is which, okay, whether it's the sheriff or if it's the commissioner. Mark Jennings is the commissioner, and the sheriff is Clarity. With which one is saying which, but here goes.
Anyway, he read that about the, he said, well, I thought the two new commissioners was going to be not as corrupt as the old commissioners in the current or something like that. My dad said, I started going down there and just killing him. He said, I'm 86 years old. I got no clue.
I'm going to go hang out with your dad a while.
I just go down and kill him. I'm 86 years old. I got nothing to lose. So this is kind of a... Now, look, I know that people in private away from cameras and recorders and whatever will sometimes joke around in ways that are not particularly savory, you know, and that's human nature. Every person I know has said things in private when they don't think other people are listening that they would prefer not to have out in the public. I get that. That you don't expect typically the commissioner and the sheriff even jokingly to be talking about murdering journalists and burying them in the ground with an excavator or laughing about how somebody else said that they'd be willing to do it. Because some of the other conversation here is just, you know, roughing people up, beating them up, showing them, you know, basically. And the sheriff goes on and says, oh, well, you know, I know some hitmen.
I've known two or three hitmen that were very quiet guys.
Yeah.
And would cut no f***ing mercy.
Yeah.
In Louisiana. Because it was all mafia around Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
See, that sounds like a little more than joking, though. Yeah, and they're kind of quiet.
They're kind of, you know, that seems a little bit more like, you know, making a to-do list.
Yes.
You know, when you're talking about, well, I mean, if you're
like
serious.
That's worse.
I do know some in Louisiana where it's everything's mafia. You know, I know some people. Oh, yeah. And they wouldn't care. Oh, yeah. That's fine. And it's interesting because, to me, that's probably the worst part of it, but other people have seized on some other elements. There's a lot of like rough people up, beat them up, you know, the good old days when you could just, you know, go and punch some journalist in the face and, you know, he'd learn a lesson and not ask those questions anymore. You know, the good old days. But there's another kind of good old days that has to do with people who don't share the particular skin color of this sheriff and this commissioner.
On that same audio recording, the people talking shared their dismay that lynching black people is no longer acceptable.
I want to tell you something. If it was back in the day, would that not take a damn black guy, whoop their ass, and throw them in the cell? I'd run the sheriff.
Yeah. Well, it's not like that anymore.
I know. Take them down here on Mud Creek and hang them up with the damn rope.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
So, you know, in the good old days, we could just throw black people in jail and then take them down and lynch them and beat them up and it'd be fine. And, you know, of course, today they got more rights than we got. What the actual? My God. Now, again, I don't consider myself super naive, but I tend to not want to believe there are too many people who our elected officials or law enforcement members anywhere in the United States who would still think this way or say these things out loud to others. Now, maybe you say, well, Andrew, that is just proof of how naive you are. Okay, fair enough. I mean, okay, fair enough. So at this point, as I understand it, the commissioner has resigned. The sheriff is, well, his contrition looks like, oh, no, we're going to be filing charges against this newspaper person for illegal wiretap or illegal recording of a non-consensual conversation. So that's his answer. His answer is this is an illegal recording. It's not the answer you would hope for from somebody in his position. I do think it was kind of funny. The reason I found out about this a couple days ago on The Daily Show, and I just didn't have a chance to talk about it yesterday, but the joke he was making was, you know, one guy brings to the table the excavator and the hitman. The other guy's like, I know some holes.
I know. What a huge help. Yeah, not to mention the size of that building.
Exactly. That's your contribution is you know where there are some holes in the ground. Oh, man.
Oh, Oklahoma. Where they win.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Oklahoma.
Oh, my God. So just one of those, you know, happy Friday. These are the things in the world. 437-1620, 437-1620. Hey, if you're getting ready to buy that next vehicle and you're trying to decide used or new, I recommend, you know, I always recommend cars that are a year or two old, and then you drive them forever until the wheels fall off. That's my approach, okay? So that's what I did with my Civic. That's what I did with my Accord before that. And that's why I like Frontier Motors, because that's the kind of cars they sell. Cars that are in good shape, you know, great condition, almost new, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, and, you know, that's the idea. But you decide for yourself. You go to the dealership, look at the brand new car, you know, smell it. I mean, that new car smell, okay? You smell it, drive it, you sit in it, you do what you're going to do, look at the price. Then go to Frontier, sit in it, drive it, touch it, smell it. Yeah, it's fine, you know, and ask yourself, based on that price, well, how much is that smell worth? Because that's the biggest thing you get. You get that short-term smell difference, okay? And, of course, versus the money, right? That's the question. So just go to Frontier, take a look around, see what you see, you know, smell what you're going to smell, whatever, and then make a decision based on the values that are important to you at that time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Finding great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack. So they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FREE. ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night, my honey lamb and
I couldn't resist. I was trying to get it before the break for you, Candy, but...
Oh, man, great.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, Oklahoma. Full of racism.
Nice. Wow. 523.
And holes.
And holes, apparently, and spare excavators and, you know, people you know in Louisiana. 4-3, if you don't...
I'm on the DL.
I won't go back over everything, but if you missed it, you missed it. I'll just say it that way. This is a horrible story about a sheriff and a county commissioner talking about, you know, maybe the best solution to this pesky reporter is to kill him. Wow. Holy smokes. 437-1620, 437-1620.
Hey, no offense. Actually, offense meant. I get it. I'm just kidding, Andrew.
Oh, and it's Friday.
I will be saying that later.
You'll get
yeah.
it later. That's right. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden's expected to announce his bid for re-election soon. Aides for the president say that announcement could come as early as next week. Tuesday will be the 4-year anniversary of his his first presidential announcement. Biden has always made it clear he plans to run for a second term, but he hasn't made it official yet. Sales of existing homes fell nationwide last month. So did prices. The National Association of Realtors reported on Thursday that existing home sales fell 2.4% from February. And MyPillow founder Mike Lindell apparently has been ordered to pay $5 million to a Nevada man in connection with a contest offer. Lindell claimed to have data supporting his theory that China interfered in the 2020 election. He ran the Prove Mike Wrong campaign, or a contest rather, right after the 2020 election. And arbitrators now have determined that Robert Ziedman of Las Vegas proved Lindell wrong. So they awarded him $5 million.
Interesting. So you go out in public and claim the false thing is true, and then you say, prove me that I'm incorrect, $5 million, and somebody takes you up on it and wins. So we're done here, right? I mean,
I
we're done here.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, we're done. All right.
There's David, nowhere else to go from
no,
here.
That's the end of that conversation. David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we did get a little bit of a follow-on story yesterday from the EAS test from hell.
First, I want to start off with, I'm sure, like many of you, we're a little druggy this morning with waking up at 3:45 with a with an alert going off on our phones. All right, number one, it wasn't us. Okay.
Not as
Game
of
County. Number two, the earlier, which I think probably about 8 o'clock this morning or so, the Florida Division of Emergency Management apologized for the early morning text. It was supposed to be on TV and not disturb anybody.
It's all stuff we told you about yesterday, but that's Commissioner Bender summarizing.
You know, we've seen where things like this happen. I think most notably over in Hawaii when they got the missile launch warning. And I knew a number of people that were in Hawaii at the time. But at the same time, this is a vital system that we do use to get out information. So I'd say on behalf of the Florida Department of Emergency Management, please accept their apology. But don't opt out of those text messages.
Yeah, that's a really great point. It's something we kind of talked about yesterday. Is that the danger here is people are gonna be like, oh, how do I disable all? You know, and it was supposed to work so you could disable tests only. But still, this was a mess, and it should not have been on your phones at all. It shouldn't have been at that time of day. I mean, it was scheduled for that time of day, but it shouldn't have been on your phones. That's the key takeaway. And FDM did come out and apologize for it yesterday.
Again, we can give them, send them ahead of storms. As we said, we have our own problem. We have our own system. We've had our own problems. We've learned from that and know how not to do it again. And we can focus on getting the messages to those who need them. But they do relay important information, and that's the point of them is to get information to a wide number of people in a very timely manner that can benefit you. So I know it was an inconvenience. I think they've learned from their mistakes already. So I hope that you stay engaged with that system and still get those messages.
More than just an inconvenience for a lot of people. In fact, it's kind of interesting. Governor DeSantis's reaction to this, about 6 hours after the alert, so that would have been about 9:45 in the morning our time yesterday. I've ordered Florida Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie to bring swift accountability for the test of the emergency alert system in the wee hours of the morning. This was a completely inappropriate use of this system. Christina Pashaw, who's runs Rapid Response Organization, called the mistake a very stupid thing to do. She's basically said, if you insist on abusing the system to override people's settings about test alerts at 4:50 every 2 months, which has kind of been the schedule going forward, the result is Floridians will turn off all alerts just in time for hurricane season. Someone needs to get fired over this. So we fired the company that runs the alerts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yesterday the governor, the swift accountability is that they fired the company that had been running it, the contractor that had been operating it, Everbridge, a company that provides coding and instructions to push out EAS tests and alerts. Eventbridge sent the wrong Everbridge sent the wrong technical specifications for this alert, which ultimately pushed the alert over the wireless emergency alert system. And let's see. They're looking for the new contractor now that they've ended the contract with Everbridge.
Wow.
So accountability, you know. Somebody loses a contract over this terrible decision that ruined everybody's life yesterday for the day. And I'm thinking about things like, you know, kids that were taking tests or people that were showing up to job interviews or, you know, whatever.
Or people with anxiety that always think it's World War III.
All kinds of stuff like that. 437-1620. When you walk past your lawn in July, you're going to have one or two reactions. You're going to look at it and you're going to be like, oh, don't look at it. You know, like the kind of way you did last year, maybe. Now, if you had a lush lawn last year, great. Do what you did again. You'll get the same results, right? That's science. On the other hand, if you had a lawn last year that you're like, man, I wish nobody would notice. Well, this is why you call NSEC. Something different. Sign up today. Get your first lawn application free with any new annual lawn program that includes the soil sample, lime treatment on an average-sized yard. And so, you know, they're also hiring, by the way. If you know somebody or you are somebody who wants a career in pest and lawn technician, they'll take care of you. They got good opportunities for advancement and benefits. Apply at workwithnsec, ENSEC.com. David, they'll have your local news coming up next, right after Fox.
News. I'm Gianna Pelosi. The 2024 presidential election cycle getting into full swing, with President Biden reportedly planning to officially throw his hat into the ring this Tuesday. It coincides with the four-year anniversary of his 2020 campaign announcement. An IRS agent seeking whistleblower protection to reveal what he thinks is an alleged mishandling of the Hunter Biden tax investigation. The agent's attorney, Mark Little, on Fox, referring to the whistleblower.
He has spotted and observed things that are done differently in this particular matter, which I can't identify. And he wants to talk about them, and he believes that they were influenced by politics.
Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is facing a self-imposed Friday night deadline to decide whether women's access to an abortion pill will stay unchanged while a legal challenge to its approval plays out. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne at 64, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Recruiting remains a top priority for our military branches as the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force this year, all expecting to fall short of their recruiting goals.
We are committed to improving their quality of service and personal resilience, investing in initiatives such as quality housing and childcare, access to the full continuum of mental health care, improved education, and an environment free of sexual harassment and sexual assault.
And earlier this week, Navy Admiral Lisa Franchetti told the House Armed Services Committee they're expecting a shortfall of about 6,000 sailors this year, the Army projecting to be about 10,000 soldiers short. The Air Force thinks they might miss their target by about 3,400 airmen. The state acting fast to make sure yesterday's EAS alert error doesn't happen again. More from News Radio's
Governor
Joe Ron Ford.
Governor DeSantis promised swift accountability over the 3:45 a.m. alert, and before the end of the workday, Florida's Emergency Management Division had confirmed they ended the contract with Everbridge, the company that had provided coding and instructions to push out alerts. State Senator Blaise Ingolia says he'll file a Stop Wake Act that would ban any test alerts from going out between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. Despite the untimely mistake, emergency management and weather agencies are imploring you to not turn off emergency notifications. Severe weather-related alerts, for example, hurricane warnings, could be the difference between life and death. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Well, it's now easier to impose the death penalty here in Florida. Governor DeSantis signed a bill yesterday allowing for the death penalty with only 8 jurors voting in favor. Under the old law, the death penalty had to be unanimous. The change took effect immediately. The governor says it will ensure proper justice is served in the state of Florida. A Tennessee man spending 30 years in prison for causing a fatal crash back in 2021. According to Channel 3, 39-year-old Lewis Wynn was sentenced after pleading no contest to DUI manslaughter charges in the death of 55-year-old Stacy Wells. That crash happened June 5, 2021, when Wynn ran a stop sign at Bower Road and Gulf Beach Highway. Wynn was arrested after fleeing the scene on foot. Investigators say he had a mixture of alcohol and drugs in his system. 534 News Radio 92.3.
Beautiful start to the day with clouds increasing through the afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms possible as we head into the evening hours. 50% chance of rain in the evening. High today near 77, overnight dropping near 63. For Saturday, beautiful weather returns with mostly sunny skies. High near 78. Saturday night temperatures dropping near 54. Sunshine for your Sunday with a high near 77 and Sunday night temperatures near 55. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now it is 64 degrees, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 57 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Good morning, 5:36, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, of course, one of the big topics in all the news was we were talking about the allegations made by letter to the county commission from three different funeral homes in Escambia County about things they said were being done incorrectly, negligently, incompetently, however you want to phrase it, by the medical examiner's office. And because there's a whole lot of backstory to this story. I didn't want to get into the particular allegations an awful lot until we had a chance to hear from the medical examiner's office and give them their fair say. So yesterday we had Dan Schebler, who used to be the county administrator in Santa Rosa County, is now the director of operations for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. Dan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you.
Good morning. So before we get into the allegations made about Dr. Oleski's operation and, of course, your operation as well, I think it might be useful to tell people some basic things about the medical examiner's office. Can you just maybe say what you do and how many people work for the operation? Just kind of give us a picture of something that I think most people don't know much about.
Sure. I think that's an important part to cover. The district medical examiner's operations are governed primarily by state statute and Florida Administrative Code. The district medical examiner's office currently employs, we're funded to employ 28 people. We're currently staffed at about 25 people. It's two doctors. There's six staff that are trained in autopsy procedures, autopsy technicians that work in the morgue and assist the doctors there. We have five that work in administration, processing records and answering records requests, and those types of things. And then we have eight investigators who respond to scenes to gather information about the place of death and things to help the doctors in their determination of cause and manner.
And so the primary task that your office is assigned with is figuring out why people died, performing autopsies, and then, of course, a lot of that becomes evidence in trials, right?
It, certainly in criminal cases, it becomes evidence in trial. Sometimes it becomes evidence in civil litigation, depending on the type of case. But yes, certainly.
Very good. Okay, I appreciate it. And that's why, you know, I figured not everybody – I don't want to assume everybody knows that, so I wanted to get that out there. Well, of course, you are well aware. You have seen the letters that Commissioner Bergosh said existed but did not put on his own blog. But then, of course, you know, others have requested, and now you are in possession of, and we are in possession of as well, that makes some very concerning allegations about the medical examiner's office in terms of what the funeral directors are experiencing on their end. My first question to you is, was yesterday when this all came out the first time that those allegations had been made to you or that you had been made aware of these concerns by these funeral homes?
Yeah, and that's, Andrew, that's one of the most concerning parts, I think, to me, is these funeral directors, we work with their offices on an almost daily basis, handling cases, handling information requests, processing death certificates and death records. And the first that I became aware is when this information, the excerpts were posted on Commissioner Bagash's blog. I did receive the records or the letters when I requested them from the county attorney yesterday. And then it was even to me more shocking to learn that the date on one of the letters is March 9th, that apparently this had been in existence for 6 weeks and that hadn't been shared with the district medical examiner at all.
So, I mean, I know it's not, you didn't choose to not tell you, but it would seem to me like the first recourse, if these conditions are as bad as these letters indicate the claims they are, it would seem like they would come and talk to you and share these concerns or talk to, you know, your supervisory board in the state. It seems weird to me to go to the county a month and a half ago and not hear about it until just now. I mean, do you have thoughts about that?
Like I said, it's very concerning. We meet with these folks, on a regular basis, and we are available. And if they are dissatisfied, whether it's something as simple as staff performance or phone procedures, then call the supervisor. And if you don't get an answer, call me. I think it's surprising that the route this information flowed to actually make it to our office.
I fully agree. I mean, it's a very strange way this story has developed. But let's talk about the specific issues made in the letters. You saw these claims, and there's a whole variety of things, everything from causes of death being changed inappropriately, bodies being mishandled, cadavers being delivered with all kinds of unprofessional conditions to them, delays in the handling of these cases, unresponsive staff. There's all kinds of stuff in there. You tell me, when you hear those things, do you hear, oh, man, we need to fix this stuff? Do you hear fabricated claims? Do you think these things actually happen? What's your reaction to these allegations?
I think exaggerated claims, in some cases unsubstantiated claims. We've only had a short period of time to review one of the letter sites, a specific example. And although the name has been redacted to protect the privacy of the family, which I fully support. We don't have a case record that matches that example that the one funeral home director cited concerning a change of a manner of death, either from a time perspective, from the case specifics perspective. So it's difficult to go back 9 or 10 months ago and reconstruct when the basis of the claim is not even sound. So it's challenging. I think we have an open line of communication, and we're going to be reaching out to the 50 plus other funeral homes that we work with on a regular basis in our district for feedback to see if there are any other concerns. At this point, these are three funeral homes, all in close proximity here in Escambia County, but we work, like I said, with probably close to 70 funeral homes across the district.
Dan, I know that, as you've already explained, without specific names or dates to deal with particular allegations of whatever the form of misbehavior is, it's hard to refute them, but I'm going to give you the chance to, you know, deny that this is happening, characterize whether you think that these allegations are compatible with what you've seen in your operation, just to kind of respond to the claims.
I would say, Andrew, they're incompatible with the professional level of performance that has been brought to this office since Dr. Oleski assumed the position of an interim district medical examiner. We have standard operating procedures that all of our staff are aware of. We train on those. We reiterate those, everything from administrative responses to records requests to investigative techniques in the field to performance in the morgue. So they're incompatible with our standards and inconsistent with what I know occurs on a daily basis. However, we're reviewing All of those things we're going back and looking at time to turn around cremation permits. And I can tell you in a cursory review, though average is a matter of hours, not days. Now, are there exceptions where additional information is required from local hospitals and medical records? Certainly. But the average turnaround time, one of the complaints that's cited there, is a matter of hours to get a cremation permit approved in our through our system. So I think unsubstantiated, I won't go too far or much further than that in responding to, you know, what I feel about these claims, but we do take them seriously. I hope that the funeral directors will be willing to sit down with me tomorrow. I've invited them to a meeting tomorrow morning at our office to talk about the details, because I think it's important that they know we have an open line of communication. And if there are problems, we're going to address those problems. But if there are assertions and allegations that are withheld from the district medical examiner's office, we can't do anything to address them.
I wish I didn't have to ask this question, but I feel like because it's in the context of everything that has been going on around this conversation, and particularly because on his blog, I mean, Commissioner Burgosh starts off by attacking me personally for talking about the location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office facility and disagreeing with him about where it ought to go. And so it raises the question in my mind, well, 6 weeks ago they get a letter, the other two are not dated. It comes out now, 2 days after we talk about this topic on the air, and I think you can't help but wonder, is there a connection somehow between the location of the facility, moving it out of Escambia County, potentially to Santa Rosa County, these allegations, these funeral homes, transportation of bodies, and just sort of that whole thing. From your perspective, do you think it's related to that other conversation, or do you treat them as separate things?
Right now, in my mind, I'm treating them as separate things, but I don't understand the timing, and it is an open question in my mind. You know, as I think you've reported, three counties have taken action and are ready to move forward with a new needed facility that was agreed to 3 years ago when Dr. Lessie was hired. It was agreed to by all four counties. A new centrally located facility was approved by the Escambia County Board 5-0. And now we're getting to the point where dollars are being talked about and things seem to have stalled out and maybe changed directions in some cases.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we've been covering that story as long as it's been going on, which is quite some time. So it's just, I have a lot of questions as well surrounding this story. And I think it's fair enough to say that if the claims in the letters are true, it's really bad for your office. If the claims in the letters are exaggerated or not true, it's really bad for the people who made the claims. I mean, that's, I don't see any other way to say it that would be accurate to the circumstances. But I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Dan, to answer some of these questions. Of course, you know, Dr. Oleski is always welcome on the program as well if she wants to comment on it. I know you guys are always super busy, and that's kind of, you know, that's been the backdrop to all of this conversation. But Dan Schabler, the Director of Operations for District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, sir, thanks as always for the time. Thanks for what you do and serving the community. I appreciate it, sir. Absolutely. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are if you're thinking about selling a home or buying a home, you want to get a good agent. You want to get a good real estate agent who knows what they're doing. And not just because that person will get you the best price, you know, low on the buy side, high on the sell side, but because you know they'll take care of all the things and make sure to get the thing all the way across the finish line. Because as you know, sometimes that's an issue in real estate. Well, Christina Leavenworth's that person. And here's why I say it. If you look at the number of realtors that are licensed to do business in this area, there's about 3,000. Okay, about 3,000. And I know everybody's at a different level of participation, but okay, 1,600 of them sold zero homes so far this year. 1,600 in the first quarter sold zero homes. Now, some of them aren't really doing it. They're just kind of maintaining their license because they don't want to get rid of it or whatever. But that is because a lot of real estate agents, in a year, they sell one, two, zero homes. You know, that's common. There are 20 real estate agents who so far have sold more than 20, 7 who have sold more than 30. Christina has sold 36 with 29 more under contract. Last year, 230. So just ask yourself the question. And, you know, you make the decision however you want. People hire real estate agents for all kinds of reasons. You know, maybe you like somebody, you know somebody, you get along. That's fine, okay? But just saying, you have on the one hand maybe somebody who sold a home last year and none so far this year. Or you have Christina Leavenworth who sold 230 last year and is between contracts and sales 65 in already this year. who do you want handling your home sale? That's it. And if it makes sense to include her on the list of people you interview, then give her a call, 723-9158, 723-9158, for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinky Realty.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in Monday morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Bay Bridge Band takes the stage, featuring a three-piece horn section, blazing guitars, and one of Northwest Florida's top female vocalists. The Bay Bridge Band brings a powerful set of classic rock and roll songs to the stage. It's Bands on the Beach, Tuesdays at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
This one time I'll let you ask me about my affairs.
Thank you. I just want to thank our Parks and Recs department, Michael Rhodes. We recently repaved the roller skating rink out at Pensacola Beach. It looks fantastic, and I know he's been working on it for a while, and we're still doing some stuff in that area, but I just wanted to recognize their efforts in getting that done and talk about how great it looks. So thank you, sir.
The what? the what? The
We recently repaved the roller skating rink out at Pensacola Beach.
Again,
there's a roller skating rink? Is that true?
That was my question, too. Like, wait. What you talking about, Willis? I don't know what you mean. So I called him last night. That's Commissioner Robert Bender. I called him last night. I'm like, roller skating rink at the beach? Sure enough, there's a
where?
Exactly. Okay, so it's right on Via de Luna. You know where Our Lady of Assumption, the Mission Church, is, right across from the fire station with the really bizarre staircase. Okay.
Yes.
And on the south side of Via de Luna, you've got the Pensacola Beach tennis courts, the two courts.
Yes.
And then you've got the church, and right between them.
There's a roller skating rink.
Yeah.
Inside? Outside?
Outside. And there's a running track behind there, and they recently resurfaced the roller skating rink so that people can... Yeah, I had the same... I was 100% like, come on now, what do you mean? And I looked it up on... And he told me, he's like, no, it's between the church and the courts. I'm like, no, it's not. And I looked it up, but no, it is. There is a Escambia County Park right there, and that's one of the features. Did you know that?
No.
How long you lived here? 15?
I mean, I'm 29, but yeah, since 98.
Yeah, same. So, like, what?
25 years? I didn't know there was a roller skating rink.
So, you know, I watch these meetings, and you always learn stuff. I mean, always learn stuff. So,
same.
And I'm sure some people are like, how did you not know that? Come on. You know almost nobody knew that. Come on. You know that's true. Meanwhile.
For anyone that wants to go out to NAS Pensacola this weekend, it's open. From 9 to 3, you have to go through the West Gate. We haven't had it open in a while, so if you want to go to the museum or the lighthouse, whatever you want to do, you'll have an access to go out there. And then the last thing.
So, yeah, we're going to go to the base this weekend again, which I think is a kind of a third run at setting up something that might be semi-permanent. No official word on that yet, but that's my expectation. My hope, I should say, not expectation at this point, that we're getting really close to maybe having base access. That's tomorrow. Today and tomorrow or tomorrow and Sunday? It's tomorrow and Sunday.
I think it's tomorrow and Sunday, yeah. Yes.
All of a sudden,
For Lighthouse and Museum access, yeah. Right, till 3.
Out the back gate, no guns, no felons, no coolers, you know, behave yourself. David Wayne is in the newsroom with, and no drugs, by the way, just FYI, that's also true. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court expected to issue a ruling today on abortion drug mifepristone. This decision will come after the court extended a temporary stay on a Texas judge's ruling halting production and distribution of the drug. Authorities have arrested a man who allegedly shot and injured 3 people because a basketball rolled into his yard. This was in North Carolina. The Gaston County Police Department says 24-year-old Robert Singletary is in custody. He is accused of shooting a 6-year-old girl, her parents, and another neighbor on Tuesday. And apparently the Oakland A's have decided they don't want to be in Oakland anymore. They're moving to Las Vegas. The team purchasing land near the Las Vegas Strip, they're planning on building a major league ballpark there. The Athletics president says the team is hoping to break ground on a $1.5 billion ballpark by next year and move to Vegas by 2027.
Vegas is booming, baby. I mean, you know, the Raiders moved there a couple years ago, right? And so now the A's are going to leave Oakland. And
have either of y'all been to Oakland?
I have been to an A's game in Oakland, and I can say this with great confidence. I've never seen a baseball game in a worse place.
That place is bad.
Yeah, I mean, you go there and you're like, I need to leave. I hope I get out of here. Okay.
Why did I come here to begin with?
Does this game end after dark?
It does. It's the East St. Louis of California.
It is. It's the East St. That's a great way to say it. It's the East St. Louis of California. Oh, man. And I'm from St. Louis. David Wynn, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, you know, what happens in the news a lot of times is you catch a story that's weird and unusual, shark bite, needles on the beach, you know, something that you've never heard of before, and then all of a sudden, oh, and, you know, of course, the truth is that you have shark bites all the time, and I'm not saying you have needles on the beach all the time, but, you know, like, it's kind of the, you know, well, it's Chinese spy balloon season. No, it's bank failure season. No, it's secret documents in the former president season. You know, like that kind of thing. This business with people getting shot just for being sort of at a wrong door, it's crazy, all of these stories all of a sudden. I have to assume that this kind of thing might happen a little bit more often than we're hearing about before. But, yeah, you have the one kid who got shot on the porch in Kansas City. You got the girl who got shot and killed because they drove up the wrong driveway in a rural New York, and he shoots at them when they're trying to leave. He's going to be convicted, I would think, of some variation of homicide, just like the guy on the porch in Kansas City. You can't use self-defense if, you know, you don't have justifiable grounds. But then you've got what David just said, this basically a basketball goes in the wrong yard and somebody goes in, the kid goes in to get it. And, you know, it's the kid and the parents wind up getting shot by somebody. There's no justification for that. There was another one also where these two cheerleaders were at the store. I don't remember the location. It's in my notes, but I just don't have it right handy. They're out in the parking lot, and they go to get in the car, and one of the girls gets in the wrong car.
Yeah, at the Heb, at the grocery store.
Yeah, right? And she realizes she's getting into the car that she thinks is hers, I guess, or gets in the back seat or whatever, and she realizes it's not her car because there's another person in the car. So she immediately freaks out and gets out. The guy gets out of the car and shoots her outside the car afterward. Like, what in the good Lord? So, I don't know. I guess my general thought on this is why I try to tell so many times, you know, key themes in our talks with our law enforcement officers. Safe handling of guns. What are the laws about guns? What are your rules? What are the responsibilities? When can't you shoot somebody? And when are you just, because I do worry, okay? I'm a supporter of gun rights. Absolutely. I am a supporter of gun rights. But I absolutely also am aware that not everybody knows these rules very well and people use them stupidly. That's also true. So we try to, you know, get that information out as much as we possibly can. Coming up next hour, the Transgressor Service and the very, very long list of names for the street sweepers. We'll tell you some of the best ones that came in coming up next.
Local news every hour.